Well, good morning, everyone. Hope you're nice and warm this morning with the nice cold front that came through. We're going to be continuing in our look in the Gospel of Mark this morning. And we're going to be in Mark chapter 10, the very end of chapter 10, starting in verse 46. And if you want to use one of the pew Bibles, if you have a regular one, it's page 847. I don't have the number if you have a large print, but it should be in the early 1000s somewhere, because that's roughly where we've been. And so we're going to be talking about this story of Bartimaeus receiving his sight. And what we're going to see is someone who is willing to be very awkward because he's passionate about what he needs. And so as we look at this, we're going to look at ourselves and see what are we willing to give up to get what we really need. So let's begin just by reading this passage, and then we'll pray, and then we'll jump in. It says, "Then they came to Jericho, and as he, Jesus, was leaving Jericho with his disciples and a large crowd, a blind beggar named Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, was sitting by the road. When he heard that it was Jesus the Nazarene, he began to cry out and say, 'Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me.' And many were sternly telling him to be quiet. But he kept crying out all the more, 'Son of David, have mercy on me.' And Jesus stopped and said, 'Call him here.' So they called the blind man and said, 'Take courage, stand up, he's calling for you.' So throwing aside his cloak, he jumped up and came to Jesus. And answering, Jesus said, 'What do you want me to do for you?' And the blind man said to him, 'Rabbi, I want to regain my sight.' And Jesus said to him, 'Go, your faith has made you well.' And immediately he regained his sight and began following him on the road." Let's pray. Father, we just thank you that you give us your word, that you give us these events and stories and instructions for our good. And we pray that we would be able to learn from this today. Help me to speak your truth. In Jesus' name, amen. So we're going to go through this and kind of roughly follow the outline of the story. And starting out with the idea of the son of David. Early on, Bartimaeus cries out, "Jesus, son of David, have mercy on me." So Bartimaeus realized that Jesus was much more than a man. He knew that Jesus was the prophesied one. He knew that Jesus was the one who could heal and forgive. And so I want you to be thinking about this, that Jesus is the son of David. As we go through this sermon, there is an amazing God who sent an amazing Savior. And it's really important that you remember, God is amazing as we go through this, because this is going to be a hard sermon, okay? And I'm actually nervous, and I'm not usually nervous. But God, heavy things on my heart as I was doing this. When I first read this little Bartimaeus passage, and I knew I was going to preach it, I was like, there's nothing there. What am I going to preach? And boy, was I wrong. By the time I was kind of going through, it's like I could probably preach two or three sermons, but one will be enough. And so I want us to remember first and foremost that even though some of these things seem heavy, some of these things are hard, God is a good God. He's a great God. He's healing. He's compassionate. He's perfect. He's good, even when we don't necessarily feel like what he's doing is good. But you know what? We got to remember who he is, and we got to remember that even though some of these things are hard, the best things are hard. In life, the things that are, it's the hard things that are the best things. We don't attain hard things easily. We don't attain the good things easily. And we got to never forget that God did the hardest thing ever, even though it was good. God sent his son. He sacrificed the one that was closest to him, the one that he loved the most. God was willing to do that thing that was hard for us. And because God was willing to do that, the best things have come out of that, right? We get the benefit. We get to have our relationship with God restored. We get to see a God who can heal. We get to see a God who can provide peace and eternal life. And because of what God did with Jesus, we can have, you can have, a life with deeper meaning than you've ever expected. But to have that life, you're going to have to be willing to do some hard things too. Because the hard things don't come easy. And the first hard thing we see in here is that is Bartimaeus, he had a problem. He had an issue, right? He was blind. We all have issues and needs. For Bartimaeus, it was very easy to identify what that was, right? He was blind. We know that. But for us, for you, what is your issue that you need Jesus to touch? What is that place where you need God to work in your life? Where is that place in your life that needs a miracle? We all have places that we really need God to work. And there's two kinds of places that we want God to work. We want him, and I'm just going to call them outside issues and inside issues. Okay, outside issues are those things that are that we know of that are outside of us. Problems, situations, illnesses, challenges, hurts, disappointments that are happening to others, that are happening to people that we love, that are happening in the world around us. And these are legitimate concerns. We should be bringing these things to God. In fact, in most of these situations, God is the only one who can help. When we have sickness or bitterness or division, truth, even dealing with truthfulness, you know, there's a lot of those places, there's nothing we can do about it. God is the only one we can help. And we live in a world, right, that more and more we need God to move. We need God's intervention. If we just look around us at what's happening, we can see that only a miracle of God is going to help. When we see the division that's out there, when we see the divisiveness and the violence and the lust and everything else that's being promoted on a regular basis, we can't do that alone. There's nothing we can do about it. We need God's help. Right now, it's not getting easier for us to know what the right thing is, or for anybody to know what the right thing is, let alone do the right thing. There's a million messages coming at us, a million miles an hour. And this is why we have an epidemic. There are so many young people in our high school and our universities now that have anxiety and depression because they don't know what's right, because they just keep getting bombarded over and over and over again. And so we see that things are desperate. Do we care? Do we care that it's desperate out there? Are we willing to do what it takes to make a difference? Are we willing to do the hard things? Can you help them? Can I help them? Really, the only one that can help them in the end, right, is God. So it's really important that as we look at these needs, as we look at the blindness in the world, that we see that there's these outside things that need God desperately, just like Bartimaeus needed Jesus desperately. But the other kind of issue is a little harder to deal with. It's one thing to deal with outside issues. It's a whole nother thing, folks, to deal with inside issues. Because the inside issues are personal. They're the things that are in your life. They're the things that touch you. A couple weeks ago, Phil Foster was here guest preaching, and he talked about the rich young ruler who looked like he had everything together. He had followed all the commandments, and he was such a good person and a great leader in the church. And yet inside, he had one thing that he couldn't give to God. He couldn't give his money to God. And Phil made the point that we all have these areas. There's something between us and God. We all have these things that are keeping us from really following God the way we need to or could. What is your blindness sin? What's the thing that is keeping you from being the person that God wants you to be? You know what? There's a lot of ugly stuff inside of us that we really don't want to deal with. Because it's ugly, right? Because it hurts, because it's truth, because we see who we really are and we don't want to admit it sometimes. Sometimes we're blind to the fact that we're even blind. In fact, Jesus said that about the Pharisees. He said, you guys are in big trouble because you think you can see and you're calling everybody else blind and you're more blind than everyone else. We have to be willing to admit that we have problems and not just be blind to our own blindness. And these things, there's a good chance that whatever that thing is for you, and maybe it's multiple things that are between you and God, those things that you really need God to touch in your life, and you've been afraid to ask him to, but you know that those things are keeping you from the relationship with God that you're supposed to have. You know that it's a barrier between you and God, and you really want to get rid of it, but, and there's always a but, right? But it's not time, but it's not convenient, but I don't want to, but. And we're going to talk about some of those. The internal truth, the inside stuff, is the stuff that's hard to deal with. It's one thing to be out concerned with the outside world. It's another thing to be concerned with what is going on inside of you. So here's two questions I want to ask coming out of this. One, do you want to be healed? right? And Jesus asks this of a number of people throughout. He asks them, what do they need? What do you want? Do you want to be healed? Because a lot of us, you know what? There's these barriers to us really wanting to be healed. And here's the three barriers, I think. These are just three, okay? There's more. But I think these are three big ones. Number one barrier to us wanting to be healed is pride. We don't want to admit we've got something going on that shouldn't be going on. And so we stuff it, or we push it away, or we try to ignore it, or we don't think about it. We really don't want to admit that there is something messed up in our life. Not only do we not want to admit it to ourselves, we certainly don't want to let anybody else know, right? No matter how close you are to that person. And lastly, you really don't want the world in general to know. So the pride, because we're afraid of what other people think more than we're afraid of what God wants of us, we cover up our sin and just keep on in our blindness. Because we don't want to let anybody know there's anything wrong. We'd rather look good in our own mind, in our own eyes, in the eyes of others, than do what God wants us to do. Another barrier, laziness. We don't want to do what it takes to get over this thing. It's just too much work. And if you've got all sin, okay, especially if it's something that's plagued you for a long time, but even little stuff, it's work to get rid of it. It takes discipline. It takes prayer. It takes accountability. It takes being willing to do some things and change some things in your life. It's hard. And most of us would rather just sit back and relax and read a book or watch TV or be on our phone or do something else to not think about it. Because we don't want to admit we got that problem, so it's easier just to be lazy and let it go. And the third thing is despair. I think sometimes we get to the point where we just really don't even believe it could possibly change. And so we give up. Folks, don't give up. God is there. Bartimaeus could have given up, but he didn't give up. Despair, that word is at the heart of the word desperate. My first question is, do you even want to be healed? Do you want to be the person God wants you to be? Do you want him to work in your life? My second question is, how desperate are you? How desperate are we to have God work in our lives? Bartimaeus was willing to yell out even when everybody else was telling him, be quiet, hush, 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 right? He knew where he needed to go for healing. He knew who was the son of David. And you know what? Once he knew that it was the son of David, once he realized who that was, there was no sense in keeping quiet. Because he was going to pursue that until something happened. He knew who he needed to pursue. And nothing was going to stop him from getting to Jesus. Because he was desperate. Because Jesus was the only one who could give him sight. Folks, how desperate are we? Our problem, I think, is that we're not that desperate. I really don't think we are. I haven't been. This sermon kicked my tail around all week. Because I look at this and go, no, I'm really not that desperate, but I need to be. I need to. And I think that most of us have fooled ourselves into believing that we can see even when we're blind. I think we've just allowed our pride and our laziness and our despair to keep us from thinking that we even need to cry out, let alone that we should cry out. You're not going to cry out until you think you need to, and I think most of us don't even think we need to. I think we're just comfortable where we are. We've lost the sight of the Son of David. You know, Jesus, yes, he was full of compassion. He's the one who heals. He's the one who does shows us what it means to be one with the Father. But he also told us, if you love me, keep my commandments. And folks, he's a holy Savior, and God is a holy God. And he expects us to be holy and not be comfortable to say, I'm just fine where I am. Not to just say that my pride is, you know, I don't have any problems. Not to do that. I want to read a little section. This is from a preacher from the 70s named David Maines, and he was a revival preacher. This is in a book that he had. And he's talking about how people kind of want to bargain with Jesus on holiness. People like to say, ah, Jesus, I feel you're being a bit too stubborn on this righteousness issue. I mean, I figure I've made some pretty good concessions your way. On the matter of this one pet sin, couldn't you compromise a little? Accommodate me? Maybe 3 or 4% darkness is allowable if the rest is light? He says, I warn you, the Lord will not budge 1 millimeter. The privilege of drawing close to Christ in fellowship carries with it this conviction that Jesus feels strongly about the necessity for holiness. I'm going to read that again. The privilege of drawing close to Christ in fellowship carries with it this conviction that Jesus feels strongly about the necessity for holiness. And Jesus will not budge 1 millimeter because God is a holy God and he doesn't want there to be any sin. We want the privilege of walking with Christ while being in the blindness of our comfort or the comfort of our blindness. We can't do it, folks. We cannot sit in the comfort of our blindness and just do the things we're doing and try and push them aside and pretend they're not there and expect to walk with Jesus. Because walking with Jesus carries with it some responsibilities and some convictions. Satan wants us to believe that we can do whatever we want and Jesus will be okay with it. That's the big lie. Jesus loves us. He forgives us. We have this lukewarm thing sometimes in the church about Jesus being this wonderful, loving, caring, and he is, folks. But if you're a parent, you know that you love your kids enough to correct them and do the right things and not just let them do whatever they want, right? And so, yes, Jesus is loving better than we can understand. But Satan loves to just fill us with this idea that we can be whoever we want to be and Jesus will be fine. It's a lie. Jesus wants holiness, and folks, for the most part, you and I really just don't care. We don't, if we're honest with ourselves. He wants holiness, and we don't care. We'd rather walk in the false comfort of our darkness than in the freedom, folks, of light. In Hebrews 12, the writer says, "In your struggle against sin, you have not resisted to the point of shedding your blood." I read that, and I go, shedding blood? I don't even want to wake up early. I didn't want to get out of bed. Shedding blood, are you kidding me? I don't want to have to watch what I eat to be healthy and keep this temple okay. I don't want to have to, there's all these other things, all these excuses. Shedding blood, I'm so far from that. Let alone being willing to fast or to witness or to push those envelopes to look awkward. Shedding blood? We are so far from that because it's hard. Folks, the life of a Christian is hard. Charlie Peacock wrote a song way back in the 70s or 80s called In the Light, and he says this, and this rings true for me, and I bet it rings true for you. He says, I am the king of excuses. I've got one for every selfish thing I do. What's going on inside of me? I despise my own behavior. But it only serves to confirm my suspicions that I'm still a man in need of a Savior. Folks, the good news is we have a Savior. We have the Son of David. We have him there. The question is, how desperate are we to cry out to him and ask him, Son of David, save me. Do something in my life. Are we willing to come to the Savior? What will it take for us to be willing to be uncomfortable or to look stupid? Or to just put all that stuff aside and be who we need to be. It scares the dickens out of me to think about it for myself, but it shouldn't, because God is a good God. And Jesus is a good Savior. Why are we afraid of that? Because we have our pride, because we have our laziness, because we have these things. So my last question is, will we make a change? Will you make a change? It says when Jesus called him, he threw off his cloak. And I was telling a friend of mine that I was going to preach this sermon. And he said, yeah, the one sermon that I heard on Bartimaeus was entirely on his cloak. He said his cloak was his security. It was his place to hide against the rain and against the cold. It was his place to hide against insults and to hide against derision. But when Jesus said, come here, he threw it off. He didn't need the cloak anymore. Maybe he would never need it again. Can we throw off our cloaks? And here's my main point, is that I really believe, First Baptist Church, that God wants each one of us to personally make some major adjustments in our lives and our schedules and our attitudes and our priorities. I think he wants us to make some major adjustments because we need major adjustments. It's going to be different for every person what that is. All right? Because God, you know what your issue is. And maybe you don't know what the answer is yet, but God will tell you. Bartimaeus cried out to the Son of David, and we need to be willing to cry out to God. And even though this can take many, many forms, you know what? Crying out to God, we have another word for that, right? It starts with a P. Pray, right? One of the biggest things, I think, one of the biggest places we need to be challenged is our prayer lives. And will we pray? And you know what? If we're honest, I bet most of you would say you struggle with prayer. And you struggle with having a consistent prayer time. And you know why I think one of the reasons is? It's because prayer is hard, folks. Somewhere we got this idea that prayer is supposed to be this wonderful, easy thing that we just fall into naturally. Prayer is hard. It is work. But we got to be willing to do it. Here's why is prayer work? Why is it so hard? Number one, the enemy wants to distract us, right? I mean, he knows that prayer connects us with God. What better thing to do than break the connection? So let's break that connection. So let's fill people's minds with all these things I have to do and all these other stuff that can go on, and our schedules are too busy, and I've got this happening and that happening and everything else happening. And you sit down and you try and pray, and all of a sudden you start thinking about this thing and that thing. We all do it. All right? We have to just keep refocusing ourselves because it's important to have the discipline to be able to go, dang it, get back here, thought. You know? I've had times where I have prayed for 3 minutes and then I've spent the next five over here. And I've had to come back and go, Lord, let's pick up where we left off. And it's easy to cheat because if you think, well, I'm going to have a 20-minute prayer time and you spend eight of that over there, you know, go, and then you come back and you go, well, I finished my 20 minutes, but eight of that was out there, right? Maybe we need to tack eight more minutes on our prayer time. Satan wants to break that connection. He wants to distract us. And we have to understand that prayer is hard because it's a battle. It's a battle to connect with God, and Satan is fighting you in that battle, and don't let him win. Another reason prayer is hard is because we have been trained in our society for action, not desperation. We've been trained for action, not dependence. Our society says, go out there and change things. Don't just sit there, do something. Right? We are constantly a society of a call to action. And so it's really hard for us to have this idea that I'm going to just sit and pray. I'm just going to pray when I really could be doing something. It's upside down, folks. Prayer is doing something. Prayer is doing the real thing. But again, Satan flips it over and tells us, oh, you're just wasting your time. And sometimes we get discouraged, right? Because we don't see things happening. Another reason prayer is hard is because, folks, it takes effort to move heaven and earth, and that's what we're doing in prayer. Why do we think we can move heaven and earth without any effort on our parts? It takes spiritual effort, it takes emotional effort, it sometimes even takes physical effort to pray. Sometimes it takes time for the things that we want to pray for. You know, we want to pray for something, we expect it to happen quickly. But prayer takes time. Sometimes it takes clock time. It takes 5, 10, 50, however many minutes of the day. But prayer can also take calendar time, right? As you pray for the same thing over and over and over and over again, and it doesn't seem like it's doing anything. But Jesus said, be persistent. He gave us a little parable about that. Over in Luke 18, he gives a parable of a widow who had been wronged. And he says, you be like this widow. This widow went to the judge, and the judge didn't really care about justice. In fact, they call him the unjust judge. And he didn't want to deal with her, but she persisted over and over. Day and night, she went to this judge. Until finally, he said, I don't even care if she's right or wrong. I'm just going to do it so she quits bothering me. And Jesus said this. He said, learn from the widow. Will not God give justice to his elect who cry to him day and night? Won't God give justice to his elect who cry day and night? But how much do we have to cry? Day and night. Sometimes it takes time. I don't know about you, but I think sometimes, you know, we pray for something for 5 minutes and then we get all mad that nothing happened. Oh, God's not answering my prayers. I've been praying this for weeks. Yeah, like 2 minutes here and a second there and a little bit here, right? And then we get discouraged in prayer. Well, why pray? Nothing happens anyways. Really? Have we been persistent like we need to be? So we can't just quit prayer because we get discouraged. It takes time. It's effort. So prayer is hard. But it's one of the biggest places, folks, that I think that we need to be willing to make some major, major changes in our life. Here's a pretty sobering question for you. How many hours have you spent in this last week in front of a screen for recreational purposes, whether it is your television, your iPad, your phone, your computer? How many hours? How much use was that time? I like to play computer games, and I have on this one platform, it'll tell you how many hours you played. And I've got a couple of them where it says I've played 100 and some hours over time. 100 and some, and I look at that, and I go, is that really how I should use my time? 100 and some hours sitting here battling electronic bits? And then you know what I do? I go, yeah, that's really bad, but like, we do this thing like God doesn't see us, and we just keep going right back to it. Folks, are we willing to change, or are we going to just play the game that we're not blind? We've got to be willing to make some serious, serious changes. You know, one of the most influential churches in the past half a century in New York was started by a guy named David Wilkerson, who in the 50s, decided that he was going to pray instead of watching TV every night. How much TV was there in the 50s, folks, compared to screen time today? And yet he shut off his TV and he took that time to pray, and God showed him. He was out here somewhere in the Midwest, and God said, I'm sending you to the inner city of New York. And he started Times Square Church. If anybody of you have seen the books, The Cross and the Switchblade, he talks about that in there. Folks, most of us have the time. We just somehow think that, well, I just need this downtime. I need this relaxation time. I need this time to chill. It's been busy. It's been hard. You know what? If your day has been too busy and too hard that you need this time to chill, then you need to rearrange that part of your schedule. Okay, if God is going to be first, if we're going to be serious about this and say God is first in our lives, you're going to rearrange your schedule to make sure that you are awake and alert and able to be able to pray to God and to spend time with him and to be able to hear him. We need to be like David in Psalm 139, who said, search me, God, look through my thoughts and my heart, and let me know if there's an evil way in me. That goes back to what I said earlier. Most of us are really too scared, myself included, to ask God, because we kind of think we know what's down there, but we're afraid that what's down there is worse than we think, and it probably is. But we got to let God work on that stuff if we're going to be the people he wants us to be. That's a dangerous prayer to ask him to search our innermost being. But it's a prayer we got to do. The question then for me, to you, and to myself is, are you willing to ask? Are you willing to ask God what you need to do? Are you willing to ask God what major change or major adjustment is needed in your life? Chances are you're not going to like the answer. Okay? Because the best things are hard, and it'll probably be a hard answer. I will relate this to you. A couple of years ago, there was a situation that I had going on and that was just hard. And it was like, God, I need to know what to do with this because I don't know what to do with this. And for almost a week, he kept saying, I'll tell you, but you're not going to like the answer. Okay. God, what do I do with this? I'll tell you, but you're not going to like the answer. So finally, all right, God, I'm ready. What's the answer? He said, I want you to pray an hour a day continuously for the next 30 days about this situation. And I said, you're right, God, I don't like your answer. Because I am a fidgeter. I don't sit still. I'm hyper. Most of you know that. My brain goes all over the place. To sit still for an hour a day for the next 30 days? But I did it, and I saw some things really starting to change in that situation. But you know what I did when the 30 days was up? It's like, okay, that's kind of done. The situation wasn't totally resolved, but I just kind of went back to my old life of whatever. And now my prayer life is really probably like a lot of yours is, where I kind of have sort of some discipline some days. Kind of pray here and there. So as I was preparing this, I was like, Lord, I'm going to be challenging these people to do something. What do you, what is it I need to do? And that's where I'm lax. I need to go back to spending an hour a day in prayer. Not about that situation, but whatever it is. So between now and Christmas, I'm committing to the Lord before you that I'm going to spend an hour a day in prayer. And any of you, I would like it if you come up to me and say, what's God been telling you in that hour? Because that'll keep me accountable. But if you do, I'm going to ask, what is God doing in the area that he talked to you about? Okay? Because we've got to be able to do this. That was his answer for me. For you, it might be entirely different. It might not have anything to do with prayer for you. Maybe it's an attitude that you need to change. Maybe it's a schedule you need to change. Maybe it's a relationship you need to reconcile. We all have these blind areas that we need God to work in and touch us. But we ask because God is awesome and he is worth everything. In the end, folks, what Bartimaeus did was he threw off his cloak, and then it says, and he followed Jesus. You know what? I think about that. He followed Jesus. What do you think he experienced following Jesus as he saw Jesus? What do you think he saw with his own eyes for the first time following Jesus? Do you think that he had an exciting time going forward? Folks, that's what God has for us. What God has for you is absolutely incredible and beyond what you would even think if you're willing to throw off your cloak and cry out. So this is our challenge. Are you willing to make some major, and I keep using that word, but this isn't just like, oh, I'm going to change a little bit here or there. Okay, we've got to make some major adjustments, folks. Because there are some major things happening in the world out there. It is going to be majorly difficult for us to maintain our faith in the world as it's coming forth. And we have two choices as a church. We can make major adjustments now and be there like Bartimaeus and walk with Jesus, seeing him do amazing things during this time, or we can just stay here and go, you know what, I'm just comfortable enough where I am. And God will honor that. If you say you're comfortable enough where you are, he will leave you alone. But don't expect him to do anything amazing around you. Because we need to do that. There's a revival preacher. If you really want to have yourself, you think this is bad. If you want to have some really get-in-your-face preaching, go to YouTube and YouTube Revival Hymn. Revival Hymn. It's 35 minutes of old revival preaching that they've spliced together different guys back from the old days when they did the revival preaching, and it will just break your heart when you realize what holiness is and what we're not. And one of the preachers at the end says, he says, the question is not, were you challenged? The question is, were you changed? So folks, if at the end of this, you walk up to me and go, Pastor Dave, that was such a challenging sermon, then I've failed and so have you. This isn't about challenge, this is about change. You need to be able to say, yes, I'm going to humble myself and cry out. I'm going to cry out to the Son of David and ask him to heal me of this blindness, of these things that are holding me back. And if we're willing to cry out and then follow Jesus, then we'll experience things and see things that only God can do. Because he's amazing and he's worth it. So what we're going to do now is, we said we're going to have this time of worship that's coming up. All right? And there's two things I want you to, I just want to prepare your heart and your mind for this time of worship. And worship team, you can come up while I'm doing this, please. All right, number one, during this time, use this time to ask God what he wants you to do. Use this time to ask him. Okay, if he doesn't answer you, don't just stop and, oh, in the worship time, I asked God and I didn't get an answer, so I guess there's nothing for me. Some of you may need to ask for a while. Okay, use this time. If you need to come down forward and pray, pray. If you need to grab a brother or sister somewhere in your seat to pray with you, grab them. Folks, this is not, I hate to say it, but we're not messing around here. You do what you need to do to get right with God in this time. The other thing is, think about what we're singing, okay? The songs that we're going to sing, the first song is Mighty to Save. It starts out, everyone needs compassion. You know what? We need God's compassion. We need a compassionate God, because we are back here doing our own little thing, and we need a God who loves us. And he is mighty to save. He's the author of salvation. Then we're going to sing Jesus Paid It All. Folks, we can be free, we can move forward, we can follow Jesus because he paid it all. So when you think about that as we sing this song, think about the fact that all of this stuff looks hard, but Jesus paid the cost to make it easier. Then we're going to sing Glory to God Forever, because he is going to be worthy of that praise. And the bridge of that song says, take my life and let it be all for you and for your glory. Folks, I hope we can belt that out and mean it. And then the last song is, Lord, reign in me. Won't you reign in me again? It's our plea, God, reign in us again. Let's stand and worship God in spirit and in truth.